appreciated both of those songs. A verse came to me while they were singing it. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, we're in troubled times today where no one can here on this earth can really give us a promise of much of what the future will hold. But there's a guarantee with Christ. He can give us rest. He said, I've got a peace to give you that the world cannot give. We don't have much peace around us going on right now in 2020 in America. But Jesus said, I've got some rest for you. I've got some peace for you. I'm thankful for that. I have a verse of a song that came to my mind as I was thinking about this service. It says, swift to its close, ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. But I'm so glad that song didn't end there. O thou who changest not, abide with me. The last time I was at Guthrie, and Nelda sat right there. Sister Coita was a regular in service here. Brother Lauren in Oklahoma City, gone this year. Carl Miles in Oklahoma City, gone this year. You know, and I know that my time's coming. And yet, you know, somehow it also seems as if we'll live forever. I expect to go to work tomorrow. I have plans for my future. What I would like to share with you today is I would like for the Lord to visit us and help us to know how to keep life in balance. How do I take care of the temporal and not let the spiritual go by the wayside? Is it possible to take care of both? You know, the things that we consider very important temporally to us today, none of those four care anything about today. On the other side, these temporal things will mean nothing. And yet, it's what I do with this temporal part that determines where I live on the other side. So it is so important for us. And you know, we're going to have to ask the Lord to help us, because it says we see through a glass darkly. The very best that I can imagine about eternity doesn't scratch the surface of what it really is. I'm going to have faith to believe what I read in the scriptures and take it that seriously and measure my life by it and ask the Lord for help to be able to balance this life. To be able to do that, to be able to balance my temporal life, I must compare it with eternity. The choices that I make, the decisions that I make, I need to be able to measure that by eternity. And there are little snapshots in the scripture that give me just a little glimpse. Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, tells us about the aging process of a person. It tells us we need to make decisions to live for God when we're young, while the evil days don't come, nor the years draw nigh, when I say I have no pleasure in them. And then it starts out with the aging process that every one of us will go through. And it goes on down until it says, man is going to go to his long home, and the mourners are going to go about the street. You know, it's really hard for me to comprehend what that means when I say long home. To me, long is a couple weeks. You know, when you're going through a flu, long can be 24 hours. This one is long with no ending to it. So what I would like for us to do for a little while, and I think it's real important for me to just use the Word of God, not my opinion, not trying to influence you by what I think, but just give you the Word of God. Because the decisions that you make out in the future can influence where you spend eternity. It's the same way with me. And many times when I make those decisions, I don't have eternity in mind at all. There are things that are not sinful, but can start taking up my time. And I could not stamp sin on it, so it seems okay. But you know, I have found in my own life, if I will start measuring that thing against eternity, I'll realize, you know what, there's nothing more important than the time that I spend meditating on the Word of God or thinking about eternity out ahead, because it gives me direction in my life. So I've got some scriptures I'd like for us to start with. First one is in Proverbs 27 and 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Today's Sunday. I got plans for what I'm going to do tomorrow morning. But this one says, don't boast in it, because you really don't know what a day is going to bring forth. We have another one, and I would like for us to get several of them this morning, because as I try to balance my life, I need to have these scriptures come regularly to me. One of them that I need to remember in the choices that I'm making is in the fourth chapter of James. Because you know, it's okay for me to make plans. It's okay for me to say, here's where I would like to be next year in my work, in different things. But I always need to keep this in mind. James 4 and 13 is what I need to be measuring my life by. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we're going to go into such a city. Continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then it vanisheth away. What is long? 80 years, that's long. It's not long compared to eternity. It's just a drop in the bucket. But you know what? I've got to have faith to believe that. Because there's many people around me in the world today that will say it's all about here. If you can save up your money for retirement, you have made it. You have done it. You know what retirement now means to me? I'm one step away from eternity. When the world around us will say you have arrived now, if you have money when you retire. Folks, it would do us all very well to have some scriptures that come regularly to our mind that eternity is out ahead. Our life is a vapor. And it says, because of that reason, these decisions that I plan, what I plan to do tomorrow, I need to say something. I need to say, if the Lord will, we shall live. We shall do this or do that. I need to have it always in my mind. You know what? My next move depends on whether God allows me to have it or not. I was thinking about over in Matthew 25 and 1, because we can look at the world around us, those people that are unsaved and think eternity is terrible for them. But I want to tell you, to the saved people, there's a warning in Matthew 25. When it talks about the kingdom of heaven is likened unto 10 virgins, that's 10 folks that would have made heaven their home, except for one thing. It says in Matthew 25 and 5, while the bridegroom tarried. You know, there would have been a time early on that they would have all been prepared for the marriage. But time passed. Folks, time can be our greatest enemy. We think, you know what, if I could have a lot of time, it would be great. It's what I do with that time. These folks were all ready for a while, but time kept on passing, and some became careless. That's a danger for me. I can be warned when I go to Aunt Nelda's funeral. I can be warned when I go to Sister Quita's. I was really warned when I went to Brother Lauren's. Our life is a vapor. I had no idea of the affliction that he had. Neither of them had ever mentioned it to me. But when Sister Maxine called that night and said, I need you to come, he's having heart trouble. That's the first time I had known about it. But then later, Sister Maxine told me, she said, you know, about a year ago, there was an advertisement on the radio. It said, come for $80 or whatever. We'll give you a heart exam. And so they both went. Hers was clear. His, the doctor told them both, said, he has the widowmaker. Said he has what can take him instantly. Well, you know what they did with that? They handed it to the Lord and just went on living every day. Because you know what? We don't have a promise of tomorrow. None of us do. And so what they did was took each day, handed it to the Lord, and enjoyed it. But all of a sudden, he realizes this could be it. And you know what he did? Because I believe he had been measuring by some of these verses that we've talked about, eternity out ahead, he put his hand in the Lord's again. But he also did something else. He realized time could be very close. And he started taking inventory. You know what, folks? That's what we all need to be doing every day. That night, while we're there, he's saying, Lord, is there anything I could be going out to meet you? Is there anything that you would have me change before I go? If we will take these scriptures and keep them always in our heart, my life's a vapor. Don't boast of tomorrow. I don't have a promise of it. And not just keep the scriptures close to me, but live my life as if I believe them, letting each day be governed by those. Does it mean that I live in fear every day that I may die? No. Brother Lauren was not in fear of dying that night because he had done the inventory and he was ready to meet God. Folks, death was never intended to be punishment for the Christian. It is a continuation of the walk with God that we had while here, is what he had planned for it to be. But here we are this morning with those that have already gone on, and now it's left up to us. What will we do? How will I measure my life? Folks, I got to go back to work tomorrow. I could say, okay, I tell you what, I want to be ready when Jesus comes. I'm through with temporal things. We saw that happen in the book of Acts. When they felt like they understood that Jesus was soon to come back again, and they sold their possessions. Why? We're not going to need it. We're soon going to be out of here. And then we read just a few books on later, we're taking up some collection for some poor folks back in Jerusalem. Because Jesus didn't come back as quick as they had thought. Folks, here's the thing. When we're trying to balance temporal and spiritual, I'm going to have to realize that I could be here for many more years, and I could also be taken out of here tomorrow and live both ways. My temporal things, I've got to take care of them. I'd like to look at a little about it. Do I just shut down temporal things? The Bible doesn't tell me to do it. In fact, what it tells me in 1 Timothy 5 and 8, and I have used this for my alarm clock to get up and go to work in the mornings. If any provide not for his own, especially those of his own household, he hath denied the faith, and he's worse than an infidel. So you know what that tells me? God intends for me to take care of temporal things. It is his plan for me to take care of temporal things. You know, Paul also, I looked at one place where he put it a little bit stronger. This is in 2 Thessalonians 3 and 10. If any do not work, neither shall he eat. So those are places that tell me, you know what, God set aside some temporal things for me to take care of. But what he also wants me to do is to balance it. He also says, go to the ant. The scripture says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Giving us instruction that, you know what, while I'm needing to take care of temporal things here, it does not hurt to set some aside for should I have some troubles. But here's what is very important for us. When we put them both together, I've got the temporal that I've got to take care of. I've got a home, got cars, got a job. But you know what? The scriptures tell us that if we'll balance it with eternity, I won't let my heart get set on it. And there's some things that I can do to keep it balanced. One of those I'd like for us to look at is in Colossians, the third chapter. Because you know, today, if any of those four that left us this year could stand up here and I go sit down, folks, they could tell us better than I can about how we need to balance temporal against spiritual. That we not let temporal cause us to lose it at the end. Colossians, the third chapter, first verse. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. You know, I can do that while I'm working my job every day. I can do that with a house. I can do that with land that he has allowed me to get. Seek those things which are above. Keeping the right balance on temporal things compared to spiritual. And realizing, you know what, this temporal, at its best, I'm going to leave it behind. It's going to be gone. God gave us some things to enjoy. These last couple weeks, we went out to Colorado. And it seemed like it was just like a step from heaven. The beauties that God has created just for us to enjoy. He could have made the earth like the moon. He could have made food in those cattle cubes that you just put one in and keep on living. But instead, he gave us so much variety because he wanted us to enjoy this life here. But I think what he also wanted was for us to cause, all of these things cause my mind to be turned toward God. So this verse says, it must really happen that I'm risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. So that's not saying you cannot have anything temporal here. What it's saying, let it be that my affection is centered on things above. Let it be that where my heart is. And here it says it in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave this warning. Matthew 6, and 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through or steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is what's important. Do these verses tell me it's a sin to have a savings account? No, it doesn't. Because we'd have to work with the other verse that says, go to the ant. She's laying aside for some troubles out ahead. What this verse is telling me is be careful where your heart is. And it's also a way for me to check where my heart is today. What's my treasure? What is the most valuable thing to me? How easily could I release it if God calls for me to leave this life? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Remember over in Hebrews in the 11th chapter, faith chapter, some great people in there. But it tells about a group of people. It says they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. They're looking for a city. You know who that is? That's us today. In 2020, when I can get caught up in politics and in the troubles that are happening right now, we heard the songs today and the peace that can come from them. It's only going to come when I get this life balanced. Because I can get caught up. I have done it. Reading the news and hearing all that's going on and trying to figure it out. And I'm not saying it's wrong to hear the news. But folks, what we're going to have to do is not let it affect our heart. You know, I've heard people say before, I can live a good life and miss heaven with a bad attitude. Folks, I want to tell you, we're living in a time that will cause you to have a bad attitude. I would not raise a hand to hurt anyone. But you know what? I can listen to the news and I can feel something just kind of rise up in here. You know, something needs to be done about all this. And while it's doing it, eternity is creeping closer and closer. They confess that they were strangers and pilgrims. I'm just passing through this land. As we get closer to the election time in just a few weeks, can we each one say that? Whatever happens in this, I'm looking for another country where God is not ashamed to be called their God. There is, to be able to balance, I need balance in that too. Is there balance for the political things that we're going through? There is. And it's found in 1 Timothy, the second chapter. This is something we can do. I exhort, therefore, second chapter, first verse, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men. Need to be praying for everybody today, whether we agree with them or whether we don't, because everybody's got a soul that's going to go out into eternity. But here it moves on down a little farther. Pray for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. To me, here's a balance for us. As we go into election time, we don't have to get caught up in the things that the world is caught up in. But there is something we can do, and I believe it'd be very valuable, because it says that God has the ability to set up kings. He has the ability to take down kings. And I need to have faith to believe in that. And this peace that passes all understanding, I control the valve on that. It has the ability to be a peace that passes all understanding. Or folks, I can get caught up in some things right now where I shut the valve off and wonder, why am I so stressed about what's going to happen in the future? I want to be able to have that peace. Pray for who the president is now and whoever the president is out in the future, that I learn, you know what, I've got an important part to play. Yes, there is a right to vote, but there is also a place where I realize if it doesn't go my way, send up some prayers. In Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, when God told the children of Israel, you're going to be in bondage for a long time. 70 years you'll be in bondage. And here's what I want you to do during that time. Cause them as much trouble as you can? No. It says pray for the peace of the city where you dwell. Because it's going to be in that peace that you're going to have peace. Folks, I believe that's a good advice for me, for all of us. Whatever happens in the future, pray for the peace of your city. Because it's going to be in the peace of America that we're going to be able to have peace. We can send up some prayers. That's that is the balance for us today. There are turmoils all around us. And God, the peace that we can have, the songs that were sung of how there can be trouble. I'm so glad that that first song did not end with just the questions. But it had an answer at the end of it. That last was, I found it. I found the answers to be in Christ. So there are some other places. Think about where it says, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world? The world would call you successful. We look at those that are the wealthiest men and we think, this is really great. But it doesn't end there. Because what we have been talking about right at the first, remember those scriptures that say eternity is out ahead? This one says, what would it profit? Matthew 16 and 26. What's it going to profit if I gain the whole world and then I lose my soul? When it told about the sower and the seed, some of the seed fell on a place where the thorns sprung up. In Luke 8 and 7, it says it fell among thorns, and those thorns sprang up and they choked the seed. And then it tells what that seed was in the 14th chapter. They were choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, to where that seed, the only thing that is going to have value when I breathe my last breath, that seed was choked out and did not bring forth fruit. There are scriptures that tell us, take heed lest your heart be overcharged with cares of this life. Lord, may you help us to have a balance in our life. We can enjoy the temporal things that God has given us. May I always remember, I'm going to be gone just like these four this year. And I do not have a promise of when it will be. May I live to where I have set up some treasures over on the other side, even while I was enjoying the benefits of what God allowed me to have here. You know, there are scriptures that say, don't set your heart on that which is not, because riches can take wings and fly away. You know what? If we allow temporal things to be too important to us, should those temporal things be dissolved and gone, our peace is gone. Folks, if I've got peace in God, if everything I have is taken away, it happened with Job. He said he was one of the greatest men of the East, and he had a love for God. He set his priorities in the right place. He didn't go get rid of everything and say, I can't have temporal things because I'm going to live for God. He was able to do them both. But I find out by the time we get to the end of the chapter that he held it in the right balance. Because when everything was gone in one day's time, from the greatest men of the East, of the men of the East, to having nothing at the end of the day. It says he fell on the ground. And as I would read that, I think, uh-oh, something's going to happen next. He didn't throw a fit. He fell on the ground and he worshiped. And he said, I didn't have anything when I came. And I realized that I won't have anything when I leave here. The Lord gave it. The Lord took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Folks, we don't know what the future holds. But what I do know is if I put my affections on temporal things too much, to where they are too important to me, I'm going to be devastated should they be taken. Folks, if I can hold the balance right, I believe I can say, you know what? It's all gone. But the Lord that gave it before, should he choose, he can give it back again. I can have peace in my heart. We read stories of other countries that were great and fell apart. We don't have to worry about the future as a Christian because we know who holds tomorrow. I was thinking of Job. He didn't know what tomorrow was going to hold for him. First, he lost all of his wealth, and then he lost his health. He didn't know what tomorrow would hold, but he held his integrity with God. It is so important for us as we leave here. Lord, help me to remember. Help me to balance my life, the temporal things of my life that I enjoy. We can still enjoy them. Thank God for every day that we have to enjoy them. But let's not set our heart on it. Because if we do, we're going to be devastated should they be taken. And worse than that, when we read the verse in Luke, the 12th chapter, there was a man that was very successful in this life. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. You know, there was nothing wrong with him getting as much out of his crops as he could do. But what happened was his temporal and his spiritual were out of balance. The world around would have said he was a very successful man. And God took a look at it and said, "You're a fool. Thou fool, this night your soul is going to be required of you because your heart was in the wrong place." Folks, you know what? He could have had every one of those, all of that temporal benefit. There was nothing wrong with him building bigger barns. What was wrong is when he started talking to his soul. And he said, "Soul, you've got much goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, be merry." I want to tell you, as we get closer to retirement time, that tug wants to come. You can relax now. Folks, I want to tell you it's no time to relax because eternity is right around the corner. The children of Israel, when they were going into the Canaan land, there were warnings given to them. And the warning is for me to always realize, should things turn good for me, I need to be real careful who I feel like got it. In Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, it says, when you have eaten and you're full, here's what you need to do. You need to bless God. You know what? When mom and dad started out with me as a small child, we're going to pray before we eat at every meal. It wasn't just to see if they could restrain me from eating for a little bit. It was a training process. I want you to have it so instilled in your mind, this did not come from your hand. This came from God's provision, and we thank him for it. And we realize that, Lord, you know what? I'm going to need you to give me sustenance out in the future. I acknowledge that you're the giver of it. And in Deuteronomy 8, that's what it's saying. Be real careful, because you're fixing to come on. You were slaves just a few years ago with nothing. You're fixing to come on houses that you don't even need to build. You're going to come into gardens that you didn't need to plant. They're just waiting for you. And there is a warning that you don't forget God. 17th and 18th chapter of that 8th chapter of Deuteronomy tells me it is he that giveth us power to get wealth. May I always remember, if the Lord blesses me with anything temporal, if I will, from my heart, It's one thing for me to say it with my mouth because I know that's what I ought to say. You know, this man, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He did not tell anyone what his intentions were. It says he only said it within his heart. Folks, God knows where my thought process is going. That's the beginning of where my actions will go. God judged his thought process before he ever told anyone what his plans were. For this one, God is checking our thought process. And he's telling us, be real careful. You know what, folks, when I lose everything, it's real easy for me to go to the Lord and beg him, I need your help. You know what, I need his help just as much when things are going well for me. For one reason, I'm in a big danger should that wealth be taken away. Some people will turn against God when they lose their temporal things. But he told them, remember something. It is God that gives us power to get wealth. It is God that gives me strength to get up and go to work tomorrow. So Job was able to say, the Lord gave it, and now the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There are many things about tomorrow that I don't seem to understand. But I know one thing. I know who holds tomorrow. And I know if I will keep a balance between temporal and spiritual things, I can also have an assurance of who will hold my hand. I desire your prayers.